Have you ever wondered how creators, specifically in the travel niche, land trips to travel around the world? Today, I'm talking to Hal from Beds and Bars, who organizes creator trips with St. Christopher's hostels in locations all around Europe. We talk about a bunch of different things. For example, how you can get in front of brands regardless of whether you have an audience of 1,000 or 100,000. We also talk about what brands look for, how you can stand out as a content creator, and the importance of building relationships in the industry. So without further ado, let's dive into today's episode. Hi, Hal.
Hiya.
How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
I'm so glad that you're here today. I know we had a bit of a chat like off mic and I was explaining that I did an interview with Charlie Pawley, who was a travel creator. Guys, if you've not heard that interview, then make sure you go back. I'll link to it in the description. But it was such a valuable episode and it was super popular. And I think a big reason for that is there are a lot of travel creators listening to the podcast or creators who would love to share more travel content. And they're very intimidated by the niche because it's quite hard to earn a living or, you know, meet other travel creators. And it just seems like one of those niches that could be super challenging. And I think you've done an amazing job of building a community of travel creators. So I just want to dive into that. So before we do though, why don't you introduce yourself and tell us a bit about who you are and what you do?
Yeah, so I'm Hal. I'm the SEO and content manager for St. Christopher's Inns, Hostels and Belushi's Bars, as well as a few of our other brands, but those are the main two. St. Christopher's Inns run hostels in the major cities across Europe, and most of them have a Belushi's bar underneath. So my job is managing some of the websites, uploading blogs and things like that, as well as creating and managing content. So through that side of things, I manage influencers.
Cool. So how important is content part of your kind of marketing strategy? Because I have spoken to a lot of business owners or like marketing managers, and it's either like one of the most important things and it's behind a lot of their marketing efforts, or it's like a side thought. So what role does it play in St. Christopher's Inns?
I'd say it's huge for us. Obviously, our kind of main target audience is 18 to 24 year olds, because those are the people that want to stay in hostels and meet people and travel for cheaper. So it's a huge kind of thing for us to be able to reach those people. And the way you reach those people now is through TikTok, through Instagram.
Yeah,
they don't read the paper and things like that anymore, so that is kind of how we market ourselves, I suppose.
So can you give me a bit of an overview as to the type of content you create and maybe the social channels that you have and that kind of stuff?
So brand, we have Instagram, TikTok and everything in between. We manage those in-house, but we love doing joint posting with influencers and things like that. We, part of the insiders is to kind of grow those channels as well. So grow those internally, but also externally, and kind of have a bigger umbrella where there's more of our brand in more places. So the idea is the insiders love our brand so much that they will share content about the brand even when they're not staying with us. So I know they get loads of questions like, what's the best place to stay in Paris, for example? And the idea is that because they love us so much, they will say, go and stay in St. Christopher's Inns.
Right. So talk to me more about the insiders. If I was someone who knew nothing about what the insiders was, how would you describe it?
So it's essentially a community of influencers. The idea was born out of actually starting up a new hostel, and we thought about how do we market this, and the idea came from a place of we want to reach those 18 to 24 year olds. How do we best do this? And that was through influencers. So the insiders is basically a family of, it doesn't, they don't have to have massive channels. We have some insiders that might have 1,000 or 2,000 followers, but really, really good engagement. And that's something that we look for. But we also have insiders who have hundreds of thousands of followers. So the idea behind it was to get people together, to create a family, essentially, of influencers through events, meetups, like even video call chats. And they'll do blogs for us. They'll create content for us. They'll share content for us. Obviously, it's great for them because they get a free stay lot of the time. And they'll also get things like ongoing discounts that they can use in any of our brands.
Amazing. How long have you had this community for? Like, when did you launch the insiders?
So we kind of did a soft launch, which was about 4 or 5 years ago. And that was more focused on people staying with us and then sharing their experience.
Yeah.
So that again, that might be through blogs or through content creation. But the first event we did was in Vienna this year in February.
Oh, cool.
And that was really exciting to actually be in a room with people that I've emailed and kind of got to know through their social media channels.
Yeah.
But to actually meet them in person and have an organic experience of traveling, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And hostel life.
Yeah.
Because they all stay together in the dorm rooms. So it feels a really organic way to meet people.
Yeah.
Like you would if you were traveling.
That's so cool. So this year was your first kind of in-person event and it was in Vienna. So what did that event entail? Was it like everyone, I'm guessing, how many creators were there?
So I think we had 14 or 15 in Vienna.
Okay, so that's a really good size. So you had around 15 creators who all flew to Vienna, they stayed in your hostel, and then did everyone spend time together throughout those few days? Or was it like what happened?
So the idea was that essentially we'll all meet up. They're all staying together in the dorm, but that's not obviously always a great way to meet people because you could be staying in a dorm room with someone for 2 weeks and never see them because they're out at night and you're sleeping and you're out in the day and they're sleeping, that kind of thing. So we put on events in the Belushi's bar, things That's like cool. beer pong. We had dinner all together. We did a cocktail class.
Mm.
And then we also did events outside of the hostel in the city.
Nice. Really good. So what did you ask the creators to do? Like, what did they have to do anything? Because I'm guessing they got the stay for free. That was like part of it. And then in return from that, did they have like a set of deliverables they had to do? Talk me through that.
So personally for me, I think an issue with a lot of influencer brand partnerships are that they feel very transactional.
Yeah.
So we try not to, as much as possible, obviously you have to track it somehow. We try not to give them deliverables because I also think that's quite...
Almost restrictive, would you say?
Yeah, exactly. And I think because the insiders come from all kinds of different backgrounds, like some are bloggers, some are vloggers, some are kind of more traditional content creators where they'll take photos and post those. I think it's important not to put people in boxes and tell them what we want them to do rather than that kind of just let them have creative freedom. So we try not to say deliverables.
Yeah.
But obviously we need some kind of payback for the free stay.
So is it more just kind of like encouragement, like in whatever content format they feel comfortable with, if you can share your experience, it's more like that.
Exactly.
Yeah, I love that. And I think that is an ongoing challenge in the industry that I don't think will go away, because especially when you're working with huge brands who have like massive marketing teams, and then it has to go through several different teams for approval. It's got to go through legal, and then it has to go to America for some reason. And it's like the longest thing. They will have deliverables. They will have rules that go alongside it. And it can often feel incredibly restrictive and like stifling as to what you naturally want to create. And then the content you create doesn't land as well because it's not in your tone of voice. It's not your normal style. If you're naturally like a vlogger and they're asking you to do like a sit down talking head video, it just doesn't translate. So I can imagine that the content that you get as a result of running your partnerships this way is probably a lot better than what a lot of other brands get, would you say?
I think that's a really important point, that the audience really notices when it's not the person that they're following. So I mean, we see it all the time of content creators who will have like stayed in a hotel or something and it's really obvious that it's an ad. I know obviously now we have to say it's an ad or a paid partnership, but it can still be done in a way that's organic and seems natural to you. And I think people actually really connect with that, even if they know it's a paid partnership. If it looks like a genuine experience, then
it's still, And I think I was having this conversation with someone the other day. I can never keep track of when I've spoken about different things nowadays because I feel like it's all I talk about is this subject. But I remember I was having this conversation and we were talking about the fact that now, of course, we have to disclose when it's an ad or it's gifted and stuff like that. But the industry is at a point, it's still quite young, but it is at a point where our audience do know that we are getting paid for ads. It's not as just like disruptive as it used to be to put ad in the caption where people would disregard it because now they know it's an ad. People understand that creators and influencers get paid to create content. So the ad, like saying it's an ad alone, isn't going to put people off. People will still enjoy the content if the content still fits, if it still feels authentic and it still works with the brand and you can tell the person actually loves what they're talking about. People still love and will engage with the content, you know? It's not too much of a deterrent anymore, which is great for all brands, but especially brands like yours where you work with creators in such a great way. I do really really want to dig into your community a bit more, because I think there's two different sides to this. On the one hand, I would love to know how you went about building this community, because that's something that most creators want to do. Most business owners want to build a community. I'm doing the exact same thing. And then on the flip side, I want to know, like, how do creators get noticed by you and how do they join the community, you know? So if we start with how you built the community, how did you go about it? You had this idea and then you're like, cool, we just need to get some creators now. How did you get the creators?
So obviously we're in quite a privileged position of having worked with a load of creators before. So we kind of already knew who we liked and who we didn't. Not that we work with anyone that we don't really like, but there are definite favorites.
Yeah, I can imagine, yeah.
So we basically had a database of content creators, bloggers, vloggers that we've worked with before. So essentially I just went through that list. I picked out people who I'd worked with, loved the content, and then started inviting them to the event. Essentially, it was that simple.
Wow.
Obviously, not everyone has that database of people.
Yes, of course.
But I think it's still very easy, really, to kind of find people online, look if they fit the brand, and just reach out.
So if there was someone online who you liked and you thought they'd be a really great fit, but you didn't have a relationship with them already, would you like DM them or email them just to be like, hey, this is what I'm doing, are you interested?
Yeah, I tend to do both. So I find a lot of content creators, their emails are probably full of crap.
Yes. So any public email is a disaster zone. Yeah. Like, it is an absolute disaster zone. The amount of stuff that you get, it's very frustrating.
Yeah. So I think in terms of reaching out, it's better to go through a DM, obviously, especially if you've got like a business account.
That
works better.
Hey creators, do you have any burning questions which you really want answered? For example, are you unsure on how to increase your engagement on Instagram? Or maybe you're debating whether to start a membership? Or perhaps you're confused as to which camera you should buy next or what microphone you need to start your podcast. Well, you are in luck, because we have the answers. Every Tuesday, we invite you to submit your questions over on our Instagram at thecreatorproject_. Do not forget the underscore. We select one question to answer every single week, and we provide detailed answers to that question in our email newsletter. So make sure you follow us on Instagram and submit your questions, and you also sign up to our newsletter to make sure you see the answers. Links to both our Instagram and our newsletter are available in the show notes. So if we flip it then and look from a creator's perspective who's trying to work with more brands and kind of get into these communities, how could they get noticed by you?
Personally, I'm always very happy to be reached out to. I quite like if someone emails me and says, I saw this on your page or in a vlog or in a blog.
Yeah.
And I really, really like the concept.
Yeah.
How do I get involved? Obviously, that doesn't work for everyone. But I think in terms of the content itself, I think a lot of it for me is that organic, kind of natural looking experiential stuff.
Yeah.
So a lot of what we do with the insiders is what you do when you're traveling. So a lot of the time we have quite a few drinks, go out, be silly together, have a nice meal, go and do a tour of the city, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think that resonates with people because it's real.
Mm.
It's not trying to be something that you're not, or even big us up for something that we're not.
Mm.
You know, we're not somewhere that has like a rooftop pool and a we're kind of like real, authentic, somewhere that you can come and have an experience and meet new people.
Yeah, it's interesting because I was once working with a creator and she was in the travel niche, and we were having discussions about the travel niche in general. And the thing is with like niching down or having a niche is that a lot of the time, once you find a niche, you think that is it. And you are a travel creator, therefore all travel creators are similar to you. But travel creators specifically, there are so many like sub genres to it. And there are the travel creators who are traveling around in a van, and it's like the focus is more about like van life and how they actually do that. Then there's the travel creators who are like high-end luxury creators. So most of their content will be at these incredible hotels. They're always by a pool, they're on a yacht, like that kind of stuff. Then there are the travel creators who are really into the historic elements of traveling, or the ones who actually want to go out and have a good time, like you've mentioned.
Yeah.
There are so many different types. And I think a big challenge that a lot of travel creators have is they don't know where they fit, because they think that by identifying themselves as a travel creator, that's kind of enough. But the same way there are different types of travel creators, there are different types of audiences amongst that niche as well. So there are audience groups who just want to live through the luxury creator. But then there are audience groups who follow travel creators because they actually want to go and do the trip. They're like looking for them for actual recommendations and itineraries because they're going to go and do the exact same thing, you know? So there are different types, and it sounds like you're really clear on the audience group who you're trying to target and therefore the creator who you're trying to target, would you say?
Yeah, I think that's an important point again of knowing where you fit into to the travel world, because like you say, there's so much that you can do, and if you try and do everything, you're not going to do anything.
No, exactly.
So we definitely try and go after the people who are into, who might have, you know, already backpacked, yeah, have loads of great content from loads of different locations. I think that's quite important. Obviously, anyone who's after like a five-star luxury stay isn't going to find what they want in a hostel. Mm-hmm. That's just kind of the truth about it.
Yeah.
Not to say that you can't have a really lovely, relaxing, yeah, time. Like, we have private rooms as well. So if you do want to have that hostel experience, mm, but have your own space,
yeah,
you can do that. But I think it's important to, yeah, kind of hone in on what you love and then work from there, because then it becomes, again, an authentic experience, yes, for your followers.
Yeah, exactly. And I do see a lot of creators, again, if we stick to the travel niche, who think they have to be the other type of creator. So they think that they're kind of authentic experiences in different locations where they're not staying in like fancy pants hotels.
Yeah.
They think that those experiences aren't the ones that they should be sharing, because they tend to see the creators who, you know, are staying in these wild places, and also the ones who have like drones and the footage is like incredible. And that is a very specific type of travel creator, and that works. But there's also room for the other type of travel creators as well. So I very much agree. And I actually just want to, I was going to say circle back, but I hate when I use like, you know, you catch yourself so, and you're corporate, like, oh my God, what was that, Jade? You've not been in the corporate world for years. So I just want to, let's just go back to a point you made when you said that, you know, if someone wants to get on your radar, they could reach out to you. So let's say someone sends you like a DM. What are the key things that they could include in that DM which would make you stop and think, actually, let me consider this person?
I think a little bit of praise goes a long way. Yeah. So you love what you're doing. I saw this post and I loved it.
Mm.
That kind of thing. Maybe that's just me, but that always hooks me in.
No, yeah, I agree.
I think having a bit of knowledge about who you're pitching to.
Yeah.
So maybe having looked at what the insiders family does, for mm-hmm. example, or I mean, we work with content creators more widely as well, so for things like discounted stays or free stays in return for content on their channels.
Mm.
But I think, yeah, that kind of authenticity, again, putting your personal spin on it, even in a DM, goes a long way. And also telling us what you're about, so what you love doing, what kind of content you like getting is a key thing, and where you want to stay, basically.
Yeah, yeah. So being really specific about the outcomes that they want.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I completely agree. I used to, very different business, but I used to have like boutiques, so like swimwear boutiques, and I had a bag boutique at one point. And I used to work with creators, so I would get a lot of DMs. And I have so many horror stories. Some of the DMs that I used to get, people would literally just DM me saying collab ? And nothing else. And I'd be like, this is a brand that I've like bootstrapped, started from the ground up, even to gift someone a bag. I lose the money because that would have been a sale, and I've got to ship it to you. But the effort that you're willing to put in to get that is collab ? Like, it was wild to me. I was like, you've got to put more effort into it. Have you ever had experiences where someone's DM'd you and you've just thought, that's not going to cut it?
Definitely. And I mean, like I said to you earlier, it is kind of a personality contest in a lot of ways.
Mm.
So especially in terms of the events, like who we're choosing to invite back, it is kind of how nice you are, unfortunately. That's just the way it goes. And also how good your content is, obviously. Yes. So I think you kind of have to bear that in mind. And again, I think that's been lost in the transactional way that we do things with brands. Because when you work for a brand, you're still working for a person.
Yeah.
And I think people kind of lose that. So I think it's really, really easy to, like you say, just become blasé with like your collaborations, like, this is just another one that is gonna, you know, like pay the bills for a weekend or let me have a free trip.
Mm.
But it should be a little bit more than that. And I think you should be looking to make a relationship every single time you kind of do a bit of work. At least that's definitely how I look at working with content creators.
Yeah, for sure. I always say that the brands who I work with now on like a long-term basis has very much been because I've approached the partnership from that perspective. So, you know, when you land your first partnership, and a lot of people disagree with me on this sometimes, but I think you should like over deliver on something. I think when you've landed a partnership with a brand and it's such a perfect fit, because it's like a brand that you already engage with, you already love their product or their service, and you're like, this is the dream. It like over delivering, especially on that first, you know, bit of content that you're creating for them, making the effort to get to know the people who you're working with on a regular basis and like actually be really nice and include the pleasantries and go that extra mile with stuff, honestly, can change your life. Like that is the reason why I'm able to like do this full time and stuff, because I've got these handful of brands who just continuously I work with them. When I started this new venture, they were like, yep, sure, how can we support, you know? And that is purely because when you over deliver so much and you put so much effort into something, and don't do it just for the sake of, you know, maybe they'll give me more in the future, but that kind of effort does end up compounding over time. And these are the relationships that you want to hold on to. And we know that when we're in the corporate world or we're in our normal 9 to 5, like we know that and we put in the effort. And sometimes people forget when we take it outside of that and it's our hobby or it's a different type of business, we forget how important those relationships are. So in terms of if a bunch of people have DM'd you, and maybe you've even worked with a few of them, you mentioned just being nice and getting along with people is a really good point. Is there anything else that a creator could do which would just help solidify that relationship with you?
So I think in terms of, as well, going back to the way it is a transaction nowadays, I think keeping in touch outside of that scope of work is actually something that very, very rarely happens.
Yeah.
But I love to do. So especially with the insiders, like I'd almost go as far to say that myself and my boss are kind of friends with some of them now.
Yeah.
And we'd love to see them outside of work.
Yeah.
So I think keeping in touch on that basis, even if it's just an update of kind of what you're up to,
or it's a check-in.
Exactly.
It's a Merry Christmas email. It's not hard.
Send me a Christmas card.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that kind of thing I think is really important in kind of maintaining those relationships with people.
Yeah, I totally agree. Okay, so I would love to hear a little bit more about the different ways in which you work with creators, because I know you've spoken about events and you've spoken about kind of like gifted stays. Do you do stuff around affiliates or anything? And you said, you mentioned that people write blog posts for you. So can you just break it down for me? Because it sounds complex.
Yeah, I mean, it's less complex than I might have made out. But we work with bloggers. So we have quite a big travel blog that we're always looking for people to write for. Obviously, that's beneficial for both parties. We work with content creators monthly, so we'll have someone staying in one of our venues pretty much every month. We obviously run the Insiders program, so that is available to basically everyone. If you're starting out a channel, if you've already got a really well-established channel, even if you're a photographer or a videographer, we love having at least one or two at each event to capture all of the content that that people might miss when we've had a few drinks or whatever.
So
the Insiders events more widely, we are going to aim to run 3 or 4 of those a year.
Cool.
And obviously they'll be in different locations around Europe. So we're kind of always on the lookout for people who fit the bill to join us at those. And hopefully my aim at least is to kind of keep growing and growing that community until we're at a point where we might have 20 or 30 people staying with us for an event, which would be incredible.
And then what's your like distribution strategy? So like when you get all this content in, do you repost it or do you just let it live on the creators channels? Like what do you do with it?
So again, I think that depends on the content itself, kind of how authentic it seems to us and whether it fits in with our brand. So we love reposting stuff, we love doing joint posts on Instagram, that kind of thing. But I think it's also important to let the content creators kind of have their way with it, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And let that marinate on their channels, I suppose.
Yeah. Okay. So I mean, I feel like there's gonna be a lot of creators listening who will be like, okay, I'm gonna apply. So I will include links to whatever I can in the description, just in case anyone's listening and they're like, this sounds like a bit of me. But before we wrap up, what I would love to know from you is, I guess, your best 1 to 2 piece of advice or tips for all creators who are just trying to build a solid community and really turn this into, I guess, a business in their own sense. So What would you say to those creators?
I mean, I will say, I don't think I'm in a particularly good position to be giving people advice.
Of course you are. You work with, you know, incredibly successful creators on a day-to-day basis. So you definitely are.
Yeah. I mean, I've never tried it myself.
Yeah, that's okay. You're just seeing it from the other lens, yeah, you know?
But I think in terms of 2 bits of advice, if I had to narrow it down to 2, yeah, I'd say, and it's cheesy, sorry, but be yourself,
yeah,
be authentic.
Yeah.
People love that and they notice that when they're kind of on your channels.
Yeah.
People really interact with that and get it.
Yeah.
So I think, yeah, be yourself is the first one. And also be friendly. Mm. Be ready to make a lot more relationships and kind of put in the effort to maintain those relationships with the brands that you like and the people from the brands that you like.
Yeah, I love that. Okay, amazing. This has been such a great chat. I'm sure people listening are just writing down loads of notes, or if they're driving, they're just going to re-listen to the episode and then write down loads of notes. So I really appreciate you taking the time to come and join us and to share your wisdom. And I'm sure you'll get a lot of creators wanting to join your community. Guys, if you do apply and if there's an area too, make sure you reference my name so that everyone knows that you've come from this. That would be great. And thank you again.
Thank you so much. Cheers.
You've just listened to an episode of The Creator Project. We upload new episodes every single week, so if you've not hit that subscribe or follow button yet, then what are you doing? Be sure to hit subscribe or follow before you leave so that you don't miss out on our new content. If you feel like supporting our podcast, we would absolutely love it if you could leave us a review and share our podcast with someone else who might get value from it. Don't forget to hit us up on our socials. Links can be found in the show notes. Thanks again. We'll speak soon.